Jim McGovern is the congressman from the beautiful 2nd District of Massachusetts. I know because I live right next door in the 1st District. Jim McGovern, let me ask you this. What do you see as the highest priorities in this coming congressional session now that it looks like the Senate and the House will belong to the Democrats as well as the president?
Well, we have to crush the virus, and we have to get our economy back to working again. I mean that's the immediate concern. And then we're going to have to talk about how we expand health care protections for people. We're going to have to talk about how we effectively deal with the climate crisis. We need to protect voting rights. We need to pass a voting rights bill. We need to pass a bill to help rebuild our country, our infrastructure, our roads, our bridges, our rail systems, our water and sewer systems are all falling apart. That has to be a priority. I mean, there are lots of things that we need to do. So there's no shortage of problems. We're going to have a busy agenda. But the difference is that we have a chance of actually moving these things all the way through the process and getting them signed into law by the president. And I think that's what gives me a great deal of hope.
Now, will there be a big push to do it fast? Because, you know, the 2 years, you're going to have another election. Yeah. Will the pressure be on?
Well, there's some things we need to do fast, and that is getting aid and support to individuals. That's where the $2,000 checks come in, helping our state and local governments deal with this crisis, getting more money there out there to help make sure that everybody gets the vaccine. So those things have to be done really, really quickly. And the other stuff need to be done, I hope, quickly, but responsibly. We want to make sure we're not moving fast for the sake of moving fast. We want to make sure we're getting things right. And I've been around for a long time. And I was on a Democratic caucus call the other day, and people were talking about, you know, what are we going to do the next 2 years? And we're going to be careful of this and careful of that. My view is, you know what? Stop worrying about the next election. You know, we ought to focus on getting as much done as we possibly can, because no matter how good we are, you're not guaranteed you're going to be in charge in 2 years from now. So get as much as you can get done. And I think that's good politics. You know, my old friend George McGovern, no relation, who I had my first job working as a paid intern for him in the Senate. When I got elected to Congress, he was on the House floor with me when I got sworn in. And I asked him, what is the best advice you can give me to be a good member of Congress? And he said, I'm going to give you the same advice that was given to me. If you want to be a good member of Congress, you have to get over the fear of losing an election. Because if all you're worried about is the next election, you're just going to be a weather vane reflecting the latest public opinion poll. And you're going to be worried about, you know, not saying anything that might lose you support here or there or wherever. That's not the way this system is supposed to work. You're supposed to give people your best judgment. You go to the hearings, you know, you listen to your constituents, you make decisions, you give them your best judgment. And even if it's unpopular, you go home and you try to convince people that you were right. And if you don't, well, then you probably lose. But the bottom line is, this is not, you're not just here to cast a vote based on the latest public opinion poll. You're here to do what's right. I think that's good advice.
You know, Jim McGovern, first of all, I wanted to ask you, when you're standing up there with George McGovern, did people say, that's how he got ahead? It's his father?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I remember when I was campaigning, I used to have Fall River in my district. And I remember when I was, they know how his father, and when I was in Fall River, an elderly woman came up to me and she said, hey, Mr. McGovern, I want to tell you, it was the proudest moment of my life when I voted for you in 1972 when you ran against Nixon. I didn't know what to say. And I said, well, thank you very much. I hope you'll vote for me again. And I won Fall River with like 70% of the vote. But he's one of my heroes, and I learned so much from him. He was one of my best friends. I gave the eulogy at his funeral when he died. Wow. Here's a guy who represented a very conservative South Dakota, was anti-war, was one of the biggest liberals in the Senate, and he survived as a senator for 18 years and as a member of Congress for 4 years. I mean, you know, the bottom line is, he was living proof that that people do respect you when you give them your best judgment. And I think that's the way politics should be, whether you're a Democrat or Republican. You know, that's why all these conspiracy theories coming out of the current White House are so frustrating, and why when people repeat them and otherwise intelligent members of Congress, you know, I feel that they have to defend the lies and the stuff that gets made up constantly. That's why it's so frustrating, because it really diminishes the institution and it diminishes people's confidence in our government.
You've been really big on food insecurity. It all gets brought home here in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. I walk just down the street and the food lines are fairly substantial, waiting to get some food in order to feed families. You're calling for the position of a hunger czar. How come? Right. And what would that position look like?
Well, one of the problems with the issue of hunger is that there's not one agency or department that deals with it. You know, the USDA, the Department of Agriculture, deals with some of it. They deal with SNAP, which used to be known as food stamps. You got the education department that deals with school meals. I go right down to HHS, deals with others. I mean, so there's not a coordinated effort. And so I want somebody who's going to wake up every day and say, how do we end this? How do we coordinate? I've also called on the next administration to do a White House conference on food, nutrition, and hunger, because we don't have a plan to end hunger. We have programs that help deal with it, like SNAP, we ship money for food banks, but there's no coordinated plan. Look, we have, as we speak, over 50 million people in this country, the richest country in the world, don't know where their next meal is going to come from. This is a big deal. We should be ashamed of this. And there's costs to this huge amount of food insecurity. And we ought to figure out a way to solve it. And by the way, this was a problem even before the pandemic. So my hope is that this next administration will understand how serious this is and make it a priority. And I think we need a holistic strategy. And that's what this conference can do. A White House, a hunger czar can focus attention and coordinate strategies. And then we can pass whatever we need to pass to help implement those strategies. But it's going to be one of my major focuses with the next administration.
So let me ask you this. Should the Supreme Court of the United States be expanded now that Trump has had its way with it?
Yeah, I mean, Ruth Bader Ginsburg thought that was a bad idea. And, I guess, I'm not a constitutional expert, and I'm not closing the door to that idea. But I guess the question I would say is, well, we expand it. If they get in power, they can expand it even more. I mean, you could have a Supreme Court as big as the United States House of Representatives at some point. I mean, I'd like to figure out a way to get back to a mindset where we're electing judges, you know, that are not part of somebody's political agenda, but are actually judges that, are qualified based on, you know, criteria that most of us can agree on. I mean, that's how, I mean, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you know, was approved overwhelmingly. She was a very progressive-minded jurist, but, I mean, she wasn't approved by a margin as slim as, you know, Amy Comey Barrett or, Brett Kavanaugh or Meg. I mean, she was approved overwhelmingly. So, I mean, what has changed, and how do we, you know, how do we try to separate, you know, these hardline right now right wing agendas from, you know, from our consideration of, you know, what constitutes a good judge? And by the way, it's not just the Supreme Court that I'm worried about. I mean, I'm just as worried about our federal courts all across this country.
Okay, I want to ask.
Not everything makes it to the Supreme Court.
That's exactly right, and I appreciate your candor there. Let me ask you one last question. I'm a little out of time. The president is indicating that he's going to make an appointment of Merrick Garland for Attorney General. What do you think of that?
You know, I think it's a good choice. I was kind of hoping that he would pick Deval Patrick. But in any event, that's me. You know, Merrick Garland, as you know, was nominated to be on the Supreme Court, but Mitch McConnell wouldn't even give him a hearing. And he is somebody, by the way, who prior to when Obama nominated him to the Supreme Court, it was respected by both sides of the aisle. So he's a man of great character and credibility. But unfortunately, McConnell decided to politicize his appointment to the Supreme Court, and that was and that was unfortunate. But in any event, you know, I think he's a solid choice. And, I, you know, I would have preferred Deval Patrick or Doug Jones, but I'm not president-elect. So, I mean, so I respect the president-elect's nomination.
Jim McGovern, we love having you on. Jim McGovern is from Massachusetts, beautiful 2nd District, and chairman of the very powerful Rules Committee, and a guy who always speaks his mind, which is something I really like. Thanks, Jim.
All the best. Be safe.